Good morning, everybody. You might call this a reflection, a commentary. It's less of a homily, but I wanted to focus today on this great encyclical that just was released and published by Pope Francis called Fratelli Tutti. It's my fear that unless it is in some way presented to the congregation in the pews, that sometimes it simply gets lost. And I hope priests across the globe do take the time to share this encyclical and the meaning of it in our age for the people. And it's my attempt to do that with you today. Now, please know that it's just a little long, so pardon me. I have the reputation anyway, so might as well stretch it a little bit more. But here I am. Folks, it's very important to understand the Pope's latest encyclical. On October the 3rd, 2020, Pope Francis released his third encyclical titled Fratelli Tutti, or All Brothers. And this is a signature encyclical not only of Pope Francis's papacy, but for the Catholic Church. During a pandemic, and when the world seems to be at a political, social, religious, and ecological tipping point, comes a papal encyclical on fraternity and social friendship. It's a very long and complex encyclical consisting of 8 chapters and 287 paragraphs. So if you want to blame it for being long, blame him, not me. The primary approach of my reflection is pastoral. So I'm not entering into a theological discussion of it, although there will be some of it, but more pastoral and written for the Sunday pulpit. The focus is to introduce only the main teachings of the encyclical and draw out its implications for us. I want to begin my reflection with an observation. I realize that there are areas in our lives where the abnormal has become the normal and the normal abnormal. Let me give you an example. In our grocery stores, we can find almost every fruit and every vegetable in every season. Now, this is not normal. But our consumerism has made the abnormal normal. Because ecologically and for the local populations from these products, from where these produces are sourced, the cost is immense. But there is no going back to the normal. Because the abnormal is now the normal. When we read Fratelli Tutti, we might have a similar experience. We have gotten so far away from quintessential Catholic theology, the Catholic worldview, and from the Catholic gospel ethic, that Fratelli Tutti may sound strange to some of us, and to use my expression, abnormal. I've heard critics saying that Fratelli Tutti edges on socialism, or even communism. That Fratelli Tutti is bereft of theological insights, and that it lacks continuity with traditional Catholic teaching. Unfortunately, it has become so normal for many Catholics, and particularly American Catholics, to understand Catholicism from their political and ideological vantage points, that normal Catholic social teaching sounds abnormal. And the normal sounds abnormal. I want to invite you to understand Fratelli Tutti as quintessential Catholic social teaching. With this observation, I would like to lay out the basic tenets of Fratelli Tutti, and I'm doing this under 3 headings. The common good at the center, the gospel at the center, the human person at the center. Here's my first point, the common good at the center. Pope Francis begins Fratelli Tutti with an assessment of the world. The assessment is comprehensive but unflattering. Pope Francis uses the word common rather frequently in the encyclical, as in our common home, in reference to the care of creation, and the common good, in reference to the care of all human persons. The standard by which he evaluates or assesses the global reality is through the lens of the common good. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church defines common good as the sum total of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and easily. Thus, Fratelli Tutti says, God has created all human beings with equal rights, duties, and dignity, and has called them to live together as brothers and sisters. And again, when the dignity of the human person is respected and his or her rights recognized and guaranteed, creativity and interdependence thrive, and the creativity of the human personality is released through actions that further the common good. Now, this is the opposite, and Pope Francis contrasts it. This is the opposite of societies where often a privileged few determine what is best for all, create laws and systems that serve themselves, and create a morality that serves their vested interests. Pope Francis's focus is on the good of all peoples, particularly the large number of the powerless, those on the periphery, the ignored, and the forgotten of the world. He addresses the problems ranging from, gosh, the first chapter is just an amazing chapter, because he addresses problems ranging from nationalism to the throwaway culture of a throwaway world, from populism to hunger and trafficking, from insufficient universal human rights to flawed globalization, from migration to the inability of carefully listening to each other. And the basic thought in Pope Francis's assessment is that the world has serious problems, but these problems are created on two levels. First, the lack of respect, rights, and dignity for all human persons and cultures. And secondly, the intentional and selfish exploitation of peoples, cultures, laws, technology, and systems by those who wield power and authority. This includes people with vested interests guided by their ideological preferences. In spite of these dark clouds, Pope Francis promises to take up and discuss many new paths of hope. And this is where hope begins to shine through for what he calls our wounded world. Pope Francis lays out a dream. This is what he says. Let us dream, then, as a single human family, as fellow travelers sharing the same flesh, as children of the same earth, which is our common home, each of us bringing the richness of his or her beliefs and convictions, each of us with his or her own voice, brothers and sisters all. Beautiful dream. Second point, the gospel at the center. As is typical of Pope Francis, the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the center of Fratelli Tutti. In particular, he uses the parable of the Good Samaritan to propose a solution to the wounded world. Remember, the man who was injured was wounded, right? He was robbed, he was wounded. So here's his proposal for the wounded world. Pope Francis gives numerous reasons for making the Good Samaritan the hero of his encyclical. It would be impossible to include them all here. However, let me just point out a few. First, Pope Francis says that this parable answers the age-old question, am I my brother's keeper? Jesus was asked a similar question thousands of years later, and who is my neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan and his love-centered action is the Pope's answer to these questions. Second, the most valuable point of the story is that the Samaritan became a neighbor to the wounded Judean. And the thing is, he did not have to be. Why? Because in those days, the word neighbor was used of all the Israelites. It did not refer to people outside God's people. The neighbor was anybody in God's people. The Samaritan was actually an enemy. Samaritans and Judeans were enemies. But the Samaritan sees a Judean, and even though he did not have to be a neighbor, he makes himself a neighbor to somebody who is wounded and who is in need. So Pope Francis says, the Samaritan became a neighbor to the wounded Judean. To do so, the Samaritan had to cross all cultural and historical barriers. Pope Francis says, Jesus trusts in the best of the human spirit, not the worst. You've seen this happening in these days during elections. We go to the worst of human beings. But Jesus trusts in the best human spirit. With the parable of the Good Samaritan, he encourages us to persevere in love, to restore the dignity of the suffering, and to build a society worthy its name. And finally, Pope Francis says, this encounter of mercy between the Samaritan and a Jew is highly provocative. It leaves no room for ideological manipulation and challenges us to expand our frontiers. It gives a human universal dimension to a call to love. See what he's doing? We don't love just ours. A universal dimension to the call to love that transcends all prejudices, historical and cultural barriers, all petty interests. So in the end, Pope Francis calls for Pope Francis calls for a humanism inspired by faith. Keep this phrase at the back of your mind. Humanism inspired by faith as the foundation for a better world. Holding up the image of the Good Samaritan, he invites us to teach and preach about the social meaning of existence, the fraternal dimension of spirituality, our conviction about the inalienable dignity of each person, and our reasons for loving and accepting all as brothers and sisters. The human person will suddenly become the center of his document. So we have the common good at the center, we have the gospel on the center, and now the third point, the human person at the center. I said in my previous point that Pope Francis proposes faith and the humanism it inspires as the foundation of future action. Now, in the strict sense, humanism proposes human solutions to human problems without any reference to God or religious beliefs. That's the strict sense of humanism. In fact, some critics of Pope Francis have labeled him a humanist in this atheistic sense. Yet, Pope Francis is not afraid to use the word humanism, because unlike atheistic humanism, Pope Francis bases his humanism on the gospel and the example of Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus' statement, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, puts the human person right at the center of his ministry. The Good Samaritan, too, could be called a humanist in that he disregarded all cultures, all cultural, historical, and religious boundaries, and put a wounded and helpless person in the center. It was an act of selfless and outgoing love. The parable of the Good Samaritan ends with Jesus saying to the lawyer, go and do likewise. And here I want to quote my most favorite quote from Fratelli Tutti. And if you don't remember anything of what I've said thus far, remember this. All of us as believers need to recognize that love takes first place. Love must never be put at risk. And the greatest danger lies in failing to love. The greatest danger lies in failing to love. Pope Francis says that it is love, gospel love, that impels us towards universal communion. Reflecting on go and do likewise, Pope Francis places a special responsibility on families as the first place where the values of love and fraternity, togetherness and sharing, concern and care for the others are lived and handed on. The family is the place where children must learn what this means. Hence, sharing this long document with you as you come for Sunday worship. Pope Francis believes that such a world cannot happen without dialogue, which is accomplished through consensus building, mutual respect, and truthful discussions. Towards the same end, Pope Francis places great emphasis on recovering kindness. Have you noticed how unkind, how hateful our conversations have become? If don't, just look at my Facebook page. You'll get a sense of all that, right? But Pope Francis says there is a way to recover kindness where we can have conversations even though we disagree with each other, but in kindness. Kindness, as described by Paul in Galatians 5:22, Pope Francis says, opens new paths where hostility and conflict would burn all bridges. However, there are three things that are essential if you want dialogue and ultimately peace and reconciliation. Truth, justice, mercy. Truth, justice, mercy. Here again, Pope Francis's humanism comes to the fore. Peace would require, he says, to place at the center of all political, social, and economic activity the human person who enjoys highest dignity and respecting and respect for the common good. To accomplish this, truth, justice, and mercy are uncompromisable. Now, in the very last chapter, Pope Francis assigns a special role to religions. He believes that all religions, not just Catholicism, because he's a builder of bridges. All religions, based on their respect for each human person as a creature called to be a child of God, contribute significantly to building human fraternity and defending justice in society. He's asking all religions to do this. While religion can become a tool for violence and terrorism in the hands of unconscionable people, he invites all religions to return to that which is basic in all faith traditions, worship of God and love of neighbor. Believe me, that is what all religions are about, even though we may want to villainize some religious traditions, which is not what Pope Francis is trying to do. In these words, Pope Francis finds the hope and solution to the problems for our wounded world. Hope lies, as he says right at the beginning, in building a society of fraternity and social friendship. Or, as I have called it, humanism inspired by faith. And in love, truth, justice, and mercy. In this way, in the name of God, in the name of innocent human life, in the name of the poor, destitute, and marginalized, in the name of orphans, widows, and refugees, in the name of all victims of war, persecutions, and injustice, in the name of the weak, those who live in fear, prisoners of war, and those tortured in any parts of the world, in the name of peoples who have lost their security, in the name of human fraternity, in the name of freedom, in the name of justice and mercy, in the name of persons of goodwill, and in the name of God, Pope Francis ends his masterful encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. The encyclical ends with two prayers. One is to the Creator, which people of any faith tradition can pray. It's a really beautiful prayer, but because we are a Catholic community gathered to worship today, I chose the prayer that he's written for Christians. Now, this is not just for Catholics. This is for all Christians to pray. I propose that we end this homily, this reflection, this commentary on this beautiful encyclical with the prayer that Pope Francis has invited us to pray. You'll see it on your screens. I suggest we go slow and truly pray this from our hearts. Together. O God, Trinity of love, from the profound communion of your divine life, pour out upon us a torrent of fraternal love. Grant us the love reflected in the actions of Jesus, in his family of Nazareth, and in the early Christian community. Grant that we Christians may live the gospel, discovering Christ in each human being, recognizing him crucified in the sufferings of the abandoned and forgotten of our world, and risen in each brother or sister who makes a new start. Come, Holy Spirit, show us your beauty, reflected in all the peoples of the earth, so that we may discover anew that all are important and all are necessary, different faces of the one humanity that God so loves. Amen.